Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, well, away we go. Brian Barrett with you. The number is 617-779-7937. All right, a lot to get into today. I'll get into the Celtics at some point, but I just wanted to let all the Celtics homers out there know that today the Celtics that are well represented with Team USA, they lost in an exhibition game. 78-game winning streak for the Americans was broken today. Guess what the difference was for the Celtics? Or rather, for Team USA, which is basically composed of a fourth of Celtics, right? I mean, you got four guys that made the final roster. So I guess a third of the team, really, because it came down to 12 guys. Marcus Smart was in the starting lineup today for Team USA. That was the major change. Marcus Smart into the starting lineup, and guess what? The U.S. lost for the first time in 78 games. So if you want to blame somebody for the U.S. in terms of that winning streak getting snapped today, you got to look at Marcus Smart, member of your Boston Celtics. By the way, a very special anniversary this week for Celtics fans, and I'll get into that in just a little bit. But how about the Patriots? What were your biggest observations from the preseason game that occurred last Thursday? The number is 617-779-7937. Your thoughts, welcome. So I want to start with a couple of these. So the first thing that jumps off the page with me with this Patriots team is the offense. We had questions about it entering the season and entering the preseason, and I still have a lot of questions about where this offense is going to be in 2019 for a couple of different reasons. So the first one, of course, and I got into this a little bit last night, is the receiving core in general. So I came into before the preseason, and really after the offseason wrapped up, after we knew what the team was going to look like for the most part, I came into that saying, well, there's real question marks with the receiving core. And one of the things that people kept saying was, well, they won the Super Bowl last year. Because I was trying to point out to everybody that guess what? Last year, the receiving core was an issue. And it was an issue for the team for the majority of the season. Remember, I know I'm not stupid. I understand that the Patriots won the Super Bowl last year. But remember, it was tough for them to get to that point in the season where the offense was actually clicking at the end of the year. They were 11-5. There were some really piss poor offensive performances for this Patriots team last season, and I don't put it on the quarterback. I put it on the lack of weaponry that was at Tom Brady's disposal, and I see a lot more of the same as we get ready for 2019. I see a lot of that with this receiving core, because this is what I'll say. Bill Belichick and company, they wanted to upgrade the receiving core in the offseason. Don't tell me they didn't, because they went after Cole Beasley. They went after Adam Humphries, and they didn't get those guys, right? They didn't come away with the targets that they had in free agency, even if you want to go to Golden Tate, although I'd say with that one, you dodged a bullet, and it seems like the Patriots pulled out of that sweepstakes once they realized the Giants were willing to give that guy stupid money. The Patriots are like, we're good. But nonetheless, the point being, Bill Belichick went after a lot of guys, in particular in this free agency period, and they did not land the players. Okay, so everybody was hopping on board the Patriots receiving bandwagon, if you will, after a couple of preseason games. Now, Jacoby Myers, look at this guy, played well against the Titans, played well against the Lions, right? And people are starting to say, oh, maybe Jacoby Myers is a guy that can be a key contributor to this team. And then we saw what happened on Thursday night. Tom Brady was not very happy with Jacoby Myers. Oh, well, he played well when Stidham went into the game. Yeah, I don't care. I don't care. I'm sorry. I don't care what Jacoby Myers does when Jarrett Stidham is throwing the football to him, when there are backups on the field for the Panthers. And even Jacoby Myers himself, after the game the other night, alluded to the speed was different when he was going up against the Carolina Panthers first teamers, if you will. He even mentioned that after the game in his post game, I guess you can call it a post game press conference. It is bizarre to me to see how many of the young guys of the Patriots and really across the NFL, all these rookies have like post game press conferences. It's amazing to me. Usually you see like just like Tom Brady or Cam Newton, whatever the case may be, the star players going out to the podium. In the preseason, it's like everybody's got an opportunity to speak to the media. And Jacoby Myers actually alluded to the fact that he was dealing with a situation where the speed was a little bit different. By the way, the quarterback talked about Jacoby Myers and his issues the other night.
Yeah, I mean, there's I think for all of us, you know, you play with guys that are maybe new to the offense and so forth, and sometimes, you know, they think they're not part of the route, and then the team plays a certain coverage and they're part of the route. And, you know, that's part of, you know, early in the season, that's part of this time of year. We don't have, you know, the full week to prepare. We don't have, you know, we're kind of putting things together on the fly. So, those are learning moments.
Okay, so Tom Brady alluding to some of the issues he had with Jakobi Meyers. Of course, one time he was upset that Jakobi Meyers cut off a route. Another time there was a ball thrown slightly behind him, maybe to the wrong shoulder, but you would have hoped that Jakobi Meyers could have come down with that ball. He did have a questionable holding call, which, quite frankly, in my mind, I don't think it should have been a holding call. But nonetheless, the point being that Tom Brady clearly doesn't have a great chemistry with Jakobi Meyers on the field, and this is going to be the only action you would assume that we see Tom Brady in terms of the preseason. So heading into the year, you can't expect Jakobi Meyers to play a major role at the beginning of the season with this team, because his one opportunity to play with Tom Brady didn't go particularly well, and we all know that Tom Brady likes to have guys that he can trust, because we've seen on multiple different occasions, he will just freeze receivers out. We saw it with Joey Galloway in the past. We've seen it all the time with Tom Brady. And remember, like Aaron Dobson and Kemble Tompkins, he was good with them at the beginning, and then he just kind of said, well, I'm realizing these guys aren't particularly good, right? So if you look at it from that perspective, the whole hype around Jakobi Meyers, that completely deflated the other night. So with the receiving core, I still have a lot of question marks. So you know what you have with Edelman, who's coming back from the injury, and he's going to be fine to begin the season. If Josh Gordon, he should be ready for week one. You know what you have with Josh Gordon. He's a key contributor to this team when he's on the football field. So you have those two guys. Other than that, I'm still asking the question, what do the Patriots have in terms of receivers? And you can throw out N'Keal Harry. Okay. You may be right. N'Keal Harry may turn out to be this unbelievable player and be the best receiver that Bill Belichick has ever drafted. We all know he's the first-round receiver that Bill Belichick has ever drafted. And I go back to the drafting of Harry. I look at it from this perspective. Do you really think that Bill Belichick was looking at that draft and said, you know what? N'Keal Harry is the first guy that I've identified that is worth a first-round pick at the wide receiver position? Or do you think it was more desperation from Bill Belichick because the guys that he went after in free agency, the Cole Beasleys, the Adam Humphreys of the world, and I get they're not similar receivers to N'Keal Harry, but nonetheless, offensive weaponry, if you will, playing wide receiver or slot receiver in the case of Cole Beasley, do you think it was more so because he missed out on the guys he identified in free agency, so he had to draft one in the first round they go after N'Keal Harry? I think it's more of the latter, where he had to go after him because he didn't get the guys he wanted in free agency. So when I look at N'Keal Harry, yeah, maybe he turns out to be a really good player, but nobody can guarantee me that right now. I can guarantee you that Edelman's going to play really well. I can guarantee you that if Josh Gordon's on the football field, him and Tom Brady have a good connection. We saw it last year, okay? We saw that Josh Gordon, as the year progressed, he got more and more comfortable with the playbook. They gave him more routes, if you will, and he became a dominating force for the Patriots for the majority of last season until he had to leave the team, right? So I can guarantee you those things. But with N'Keal Harry, I can't guarantee you that he's going to be a key contributor just because he's a first-round draft pick. You can't tell me that you know that N'Keal Harry is going to play a pivotal role on this team. Now, the Patriots want him to, but do we have any idea if he's actually going to have a good season for the Patriots? Nobody does. Not to mention the fact that look at what's transpired so far this preseason and into the preseason games. N'Keal Harry continues to be banged up and deal with injuries to the point where we didn't get to see him the other night play with Tom Brady. So I still have plenty of question marks about the receiving core. I would say one positive from the other night, as it pertains to that group, was Philip Dorsett. And he had four catches, or in terms of the targets, four targets from Brady, four catches for 39 yards. That's pretty good. And Philip Dorsett, somebody that I've never been high on. I feel like he has not been a key contributor to this team whatsoever since he came over from the Indianapolis Colts. I understand, and I saw that he caught that touchdown pass against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. I am aware of that. But for the most part, he's never really caught on. So maybe this is the year that he does, right? Because essentially this is his third year in the system. He got traded over 2 years ago, and that was like right before the season, because remember, the Colts were dealing with that whole Andrew Luck situation. They needed a backup quarterback. They take on Jacoby Brissett. So really, it wasn't not even close to a real offseason for Philip Dorsett. So it's his second offseason, so to speak, in the system. Maybe this is the year that he picks up the offense, and quite frankly, the Patriots need him to. At this particular point in time, they need him to, because there's not a lot of dependable guys, and clearly Tom Brady is putting emphasis on the work that he put in with Philip Dorsett over the years, right? Tom Brady knows that he's put in years working with Philip Dorsett to make sure that he's accustomed with the offense. And that's why we heard Tom Brady the other night go to the podium and basically give Philip Dorsett a ton of credit, referencing the fact that he can play all three wide receiver positions. So from that perspective, he wants to see Philip Dorsett play a role on this team because he doesn't have any sort of chemistry, cohesion with Jacoby Myers on the football field whatsoever. And he doesn't want to try to build that up right now. He wants to do what he knows. He wants to play with the players that he's familiar with. That's why he wants Philip Dorsett to play a major role and not Jacoby Myers to play a role. And I'll say this as well. Jacoby Myers' issue. Didn't he have the second, I believe it was the second slowest 40 time coming out of the combine? And it looked like he was having trouble getting some separation the other night. Now, I know the Patriots aren't crazy about the 40 time, but he had some trouble the other night. All right, and a couple of other observations I had. So from the offense, I'm still concerned about a couple of things. Another thing that I would say I'm concerned about, and not really concerned about, I just have questions about, where is Sony Michel in the passing game? And I understand it was his first game in the preseason, and I understand that the Patriots don't want to show everything. But remember, Sony Michel, they talked about during the offseason that that's something they wanted to do, get him more involved in the passing game. Last year, remember, he had 7 catches the entire season. 7 catches. He ran for 71 yards per game. Sony Michel was definitely a huge part of the Patriots offense, and we all know what he did in the postseason. Led the postseason in rushing and had the most rushing touchdowns in the postseason as well. And the other night, he had 10 rushing attempts for 36 yards. And the funny thing to me, watching that game, he was never targeted in the passing game. So they didn't throw the ball to Sony Michel whatsoever. And if you think about it, last year, 76% of Sony Michel's snaps last season resulted in running plays. So the Patriots, when Sony Michel was on the football field, and I get they had a lot of success with Michel on the field in the postseason, but 76% of those snaps were running plays last year. So defenses knew when Sony Michel was on the football field, the Patriots were going to run the football. And now that teams have a year of tape on Sony Michel, that's going to be abundantly clear to them, right? So last year, maybe you catch teams a little bit off guard, right? Maybe that's what happened last year as it pertains to Sony Michel and the offense. But now this year, teams are going to be realizing, oh yeah, they don't throw the ball to Sony Michel. And part of what we heard in the offseason was Sony Michel wanted to become a bigger threat out of the backfield in terms of the receiving game. And I didn't see any of that the other night. And like I said, there's two things to this. The first thing could be, well, the Patriots don't want to show a whole lot during the preseason, right? So they don't want to show off Sony Michel and the routes he's going to run and all that different type of stuff. That could be the case. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping they're just waiting for the regular season to unleash Sony Michel as a receiver. Because if you look at Sony Michel in terms of the athlete he is, and he caught a bunch of passes at Georgia, by the way. So if you look at it, I expect that Sony Michel can do that, that Sony Michel can be a legitimate weapon out of the backfield in the receiving game for the Patriots. I expect he can do that, and they're just waiting, and they're going to hold off until the regular season until we see that. But there's also the possibility that Sony Michel is just not very good as a receiver still, that Sony Michel is not somebody that they trust in the receiving game and that they only trust him as a runner, which would be concerning to me because it feels like if Sony Michel is going to take that next step, and I get he's a really good running back in terms of actually running the football, but if Sony Michel can get that element to his game, it just is going to take on a whole different level for the Patriots if he can be a legitimate weapon out of the backfield for Tom Brady. The number 617-779-7937, your observations from the preseason so far as it pertains to the Patriots. All right, another thing that I would look at is, it seems like the conclusion that you should draw from the other night, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe you disagree with me on this, I believe that Brian Hoyer is going to be looking for employment from a different organization. Because why would Jarrett Stidham play the entire game after Tom Brady? Now, I understand that Bill Belichick can go up to the podium and say that we've seen Brian Hoyer play a lot. And that's not a lie. He has obviously seen Brian Hoyer play a lot of football. But everything that we've seen from Bill Belichick would tell you that he would side on whatever helps the roster the most. And I don't get the benefit of keeping Brian Hoyer on the roster. By the way, here was Belichick after the game on why Brian Hoyer didn't play.
Yeah, we do what we think's best for the team. Take a look at everybody. Brian's played a lot of football.
Yeah, Brian's played a lot of football. He sure has. It hasn't
been
good.
Brian's played a lot of
football. Yeah, hasn't been good. He's completed 59% of his passes in his NFL career. That's it. 59% in terms of his completion percentage for his career. Not very good from one Brian Hoyer. So another thing I've heard is, well, this would really piss off Tom Brady because we know that Brady is friends with Brian Hoyer, right? And Brian Hoyer probably, I'd have to look through the roster, but I believe Brian Hoyer would be the closest in age on the roster to Tom Brady, right? A guy that's in his mid-30s, Brady's 42, they both have families, And Tom Brady likes Brian Hoyer being around him because, first of all, Brian Hoyer is no threat to Tom Brady. Brian Hoyer is just a backup quarterback in the NFL holding a clipboard. He will never, ever, ever be a threat to Tom Brady, right? So he's not a threat. He's a friend, and they value him in the film room and all this different type of stuff. The only way I could possibly see Belichick keeping him around if they really value him in the scout team. Remember they pointed that out after the Super Bowl? Oh, he's so good impersonating other quarterbacks. He was so good getting us ready for the Super Bowl with the Rams. Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure if you drafted a kid in the fourth round, who was a big-time recruit coming out of high school, played at Auburn, I'm pretty sure that he can figure out a way to run the damn scout team, okay? So everyone looking at the fact that, oh, well, Brady would be upset if they cut Brian Hoyer. You think that's going to stop Bill Belichick? You think that if Brady is pulling for Brian Hoyer to stay on the team, or Josh McDaniels wants Brian Hoyer on the team because they think he's a valuable commodity in the quarterback room, You think that's going to help him stay on the team, really?
We don't really do it that way.
Yeah, exactly. You think that's going to really help? Okay, so let's go through this. Let's talk about guys that were more helpful to Tom Brady because Brian Hoyer isn't actually on the field with Tom Brady, right? So let's think about this through the years with the Patriots. Oh, remember Deion Branch? Deion Branch was like Tom Brady's top weapons years ago, or top weapon rather years ago. Oh, what happened to him? Oh, yeah, he went to Seattle. He got big money from the Seahawks. Okay, see ya. How about the fact that he was willing to trade Rob Gronkowski last offseason? And you could say, oh, that was a contract thing, that was a motivational tactic, whatever the case may be. Bill Belichick was ready to send him to Detroit. He's kind of one of Tom Brady's guys, isn't he? Arguably the best tight end in the history of the sport. Now, I don't want to get in a whole argument about that. The 100-year anniversary of the NFL, ESPN put out this list, and they had Tony Gonzalez. I don't want to get into a big argument about that. But you can make the argument that Gronk was the best tight end, especially in a small window. You can make the argument he's the most dominating tight end. If you go through the totality of the stats, it's going to be Gonzalez. Nonetheless, getting back to the original point, I don't want to get sidetracked here. But Gronk was somebody that we all know Brady was very comfortable with and was one of the main weapons during this new Patriots dynasty, if you will. The one that has won 3 Super Bowls in the past 5 years. And yes, I understand the fact that he didn't play in one of the Super Bowls, but you get the overwhelming point. Okay, how about Wes Welker? Oh, yeah, Wes Welker. He was one of Brady's most reliable targets for a number of years. And guess what happened to him? Bill Belichick didn't want to pay him, and he went to Denver and got a contract from the Broncos. Okay, so Deion Branch left. He was willing to trade Gronk. Wes Welker went to the Broncos. Okay, let's get to somebody else then. Oh, Danny Amendola. Danny Amendola was like one of the most clutch receivers in the history of this franchise. Nobody can dispute that. I'm not saying he's one of the best, but he's definitely one of the most clutch. Remember that Jacksonville Jaguars AFC Championship game a couple of years ago? Dude was great in that game. Remember the Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl coming back from 28-3? Danny Amendola was unbelievable in that game. Yeah. Bill Belichick didn't want to pay him. He went to South Beach to play for the Miami Dolphins. It didn't work out there for Danny Amendola. And then he's on the Detroit Lions. Now, we'll see what Danny Amendola does with Matthew Stafford and Matt Patricia there in Detroit. Good luck to Danny Amendola. But nonetheless, again, a reliable target for Tom Brady, a guy that Tom Brady liked to work with. And Bill Belichick said, nah, not worth the money. I'm going to let him go. So I say all that to say this. What makes you think because Tom Brady values Brian Hoyer in the film room, values Brian Hoyer's opinion, and Brian Hoyer and Tom Brady are buddy-buddy, what makes you think that that helps Brian Hoyer's case to stay on the team? I'm telling you, the only real reason that the Patriots would keep Brian Hoyer on this football team is if Bill Belichick really, really values what he does on the scout team. That's the only possibility that Brian Hoyer has to stay on this football team. That's the only reason to keep the guy around. Because other than that, why the hell would you keep the guy around? Jarrett Stidham is significantly more talented. Jarrett Stidham's contract is much cheaper. And Jarrett Stidham has something that Brian Hoyer doesn't have with the Patriots. A possibility of a future. There is the possibility that Jarrett Stidham could be. I'm not saying, I'm not guaranteeing, but he could be the quarterback after Tom Brady. He could take over as the New England Patriots starting quarterback in whatever the case may be, the 2021, the 2022 season, whatever year you want to put on it. Jarrett Stidham does have that possibility. Brian Hoyer does not. And I don't want to look at the fact, oh, what if Tom Brady gets a little bit of an injury? Yeah, are you really that much more comfortable putting Brian Hoyer into the game? The last time he was a starting quarterback was in San Francisco. The guy was 0 and six. He was 0-6, so I'm not very comfortable with Brian Hoyer going into a football game for Tom Brady anyway. Quite frankly, I'd rather put Jarrett Stidham. Well, he knows the system. Okay, he knows the system. Great. Where is knowing the system got him in the past? Oh, he's a really smart quarterback. Yeah, so he knew the San Francisco system. And we do understand that Kyle Shanahan is one of the best offensive minds in the NFL, right? We understand that. And he was terrible in San Francisco. They had this kid Mullins last year. Came out of nowhere. Nobody knew who the hell he was. And he played at a high level with Kyle Shanahan. C.J. Beathard, who nobody has ever heard of, was doing things with Kyle Shanahan. Okay, he led RG3 to a Rookie of the Year campaign, and RG3, never heard from him since. He's just completely fallen off, okay? So if Brian Hoyer couldn't play at a high level with Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco, what makes you think that if Tom Brady does go down for a week or 3 weeks that he's the better option than Jarrett Stidham? We've seen a full resume from Brian Hoyer, and that resume has not been good. So if Tom Brady does go down, and we've never seen him go down for just a game or two, right? It just doesn't happen with Tom Brady. But say that's the hypothetical game that you want to play. Wouldn't you rather have Jarrett Stidham out there? Jarrett Stidham actually has, you know, this thing that we call talent. Brian Hoyer doesn't have talent. He's a great guy in the locker room and all that different type of stuff. I'm not trying to diminish his contribution to the team over the past couple of years. I'm not trying to take shots at Brian Hoyer. I'm just trying to say that if you look at where this team is at, it makes no sense, especially considering this is a loaded team that's going to be tough to make this year, right? I mean, this is one of the most stacked Patriots teams we've seen in recent history, probably since 2014. So if you have all those other guys that you want to keep on the team, right, why would you have Brian Hoyer around to keep a roster spot? It makes no sense to me whatsoever. Okay, so those are some of the observations I've had for the Patriots through this preseason. I got a couple more, and I do have some positive things, and that pertains to the defense. I'll get into that, but if you want to weigh in on the Brian Hoyer situation, the wide receiver situation, what have you made of the Patriots' performance through the first three preseason games? Certainly welcome to do so. The number is 617-779-7937.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
93.7 FM, WEEI.
You know, Philip is a guy that I play a lot of football with, so I have a lot of trust in our experience together, you know, pays off. I read his body language. You know, I think the great thing about Phil, he takes advantage of his opportunities, and, you know, a lot of guys have been injured this preseason. Phil plays all three wide receiver positions. He goes in there and does it the way that, you know, coach wants it done. So I love playing with Phil. He's been a great contributor to our team, and he had a great night.
All right, that's Tom Brady on Philip Dorsett after the game the other night. When Brady targeted Philip Dorsett, he was 4-for-4 for 39 yards. The number is 617-779-7937. If you want to hop on board, your observations from the preseason so far. By the way, this hour is brought to you by FW Web Company. All right, so it's interesting to me that Brady sticks up for his guy, Philip Dorsett. In my mind, I told you last night, that was Philip Dorsett or Brady saying, hey, I want Philip Dorsett on the team. He's comfortable playing multiple different positions in terms of the receiver position, and we need somebody like that that's comfortable with the offense, right? So, and I also look at the fact, you know what I thought was funny last night is, or two nights ago, I should say, at this particular point in time, is Tom Brady was joking around with Demaryius Thomas on the sideline, you know, getting close to Demaryius Thomas. And Demaryius Thomas, who knows what his situation is going to be over the next couple of weeks? You would think they would want to keep him on the team, but if they don't think he's going to be ready soon enough, then what would be the benefit of keeping him on the football team? But I think Brady looks at this as like, hey, I want some veteran wide receivers here, right? Because it seems like every year I'm trying to break in different guys. So if I'm going to break somebody else in that is a new player, so to speak, I want to break in a guy with some veteran experience like a Demaryius Thomas. And Demaryius Thomas is somebody that we know has played for Peyton Manning. So Tom Brady probably looks at that like, all right, so if he could play with Peyton Manning, we know that there's a lot of concepts with offenses with Peyton Manning, right? There's a lot of detail to what Peyton Manning wants to do on the football field. Brady's probably thinking to himself, well, he can pick our offense up if he can pick up the stuff that Peyton Manning was doing. And I know that when he's actually on the football field, this is Tom Brady speaking right now, Tom Brady would say when he's on the football field, he's actually been productive. Not that he's one of the best receivers in the NFL, but he's pretty damn good, right? He's a pretty good receiver, is Demaryius Thomas, when he's actually healthy. Now, I have my doubts for a guy coming back from a torn Achilles, but I just found it interesting the other day that Tom Brady is being buddy-buddy, so to speak, with Demaryius Thomas on the sideline. Clearly, Brady is advocating for Philip Dorsett to be on this football team, because remember, if you look at it, it's not like Philip Dorsett's on this big contract or anything along those lines. It's not that, like, Philip Dorsett heading into the preseason was this guaranteed guy to make the team. Now, odds were that he was going to make it, and especially after what he did the other night, and especially after the fact that you have the quarterback going up to the podium and basically essentially saying that I want Philip Dorsett on the football team. He didn't have to come out and just say, hey, Philip should be on this team, I need him on this team. But basically by his words, talking about the work Philip Dorsett has put in, the fact that he can be versatile, right, and play three different receiver positions, by Brady doing that the other night, that was Tom Brady sending the message, essentially sending the message to Bill Belichick, like, yeah, I want this guy on the team. I need this guy on the team. I trust Edelman. I trust Philip Dorsett. I trust Josh Gordon. Let's go. Those are the group of receivers that I want to work with. Jacoby Myers, still some work to be done there. And a couple of people called over the past couple of days, and one of the criticisms they had was for Tom Brady. And they were essentially saying, well, Brady wasn't there for OTAs. Brady wasn't there for some of the offseason workouts that the Patriots did. Well, if you look at what Tom Brady did in the offseason, he did work with N'Keal Harry, right? So N'Keal Harry is somebody that Tom Brady decided, okay, I realize that this guy is going to need to be a contributor on the team. Or at least that's the hope, that he can be a contributor on this team as a first-round draft pick. So I'm going to make sure that I take him under my wing a little bit, and we try to work out a little bit in the offseason. And he did that with N'Keal Harry. You can't expect him to go through all the guys that Bill Belichick brings in here in terms of wide receivers and hold workouts with all of them, right? So Brady's not just going to be like, oh, yeah, Braxton Berrios, Maurice Harris, Dontrell Inman, who's already left the team. He's not going to call up all those guys and say, hey, let me work out with you. No, he's going to pick the guys that he thinks are actually going to be key contributors to the team in 2019, and he's going to work out with those guys. So no disrespect to Jacoby Myers, but Jacoby Myers is not one of those guys that you look at right away and you say, yeah, he can be somebody that I can depend on. So I'm sure part of this with Tom Brady is he is somebody that obviously we know this particular offseason was upset with his contract situation. So Tom Brady didn't want to, again, show up to OTAs, whatever the case may be, the non-mandatory stuff, and show up when he's upset with his contract situation just so he could build up some sort of relationship with an undrafted receiver, an undrafted guy like Jacoby Myers, because Brady has no idea if that guy's actually going to make the team or not. So that's just wasted work in the eyes of Tom Brady. When Tom Brady works out with his receivers on his own, right, when he's working out with a guy like Julian Edelman, when he's working out like a guy like we saw, he worked out once with Josh Gordon, when he's working out with a guy like N'Keal Harry, he realizes that his work in those particular sessions is going to be advantageous to his actual performance on the field. So this is a guy that's been doing this damn thing for 20 years. And he's been, for the most part, up until the past few years, showing up for everything in terms of the offseason. Don't you think that Tom Brady understands completely what he needs to get from his wide receivers, what he needs to do in terms of building up cohesion, building up chemistry with those guys? Wouldn't you give Tom Brady the benefit of the doubt? Like, for people to criticize Tom Brady for not showing up to this stuff, don't you think he understands what he needs to do to get his team ready? So he probably looks at it at this point in time saying, I'm going to show up. We got all these receivers, all these kids that we've never heard of, and you want me to work with all of them in an off-season workout for what? I'll work out with the guys that I think are going to be key contributors to the team. Because it'd be one thing when Tom Brady was 30 or 29, whatever the case may be, and he knows he's going to be here for an extended period of time. But the way things kind of transpired this offseason, where there's no security, Tom Brady doesn't have any guarantee that he's going to be a member of the New England Patriots in 2020. Now, all signs point to that, but nevertheless, he doesn't have a guarantee that he's going to be part of the Patriots going forward. Bill Belichick gave him essentially a salary raise and a one-year contract. That was it. So it'd be one thing when he's 28, 29, and he's under contract for the next 3 to 4 years. He's like, all right, I know in 2 years from now, I'm going to need this rookie wide receiver to be a main contributor to my team. But with Jacoby Myers, even if he is on the Patriots for an extended period of time, right, 4 or 5 years, Tom Brady has no guarantee that he's on the roster going forward. So I could understand it from this perspective. If you wanted to criticize Tom Brady for not showing up and he had 2 to 3 years remaining on his contract, or he had just signed a 3-year contract extension, okay, I understand that, because maybe Jacoby Myers doesn't play a role on the team this year, but he does in the 2020 season, or he does in the 2021 season. Both those seasons, would be yours, that Brady would be under contract with the Patriots, right? So if it was that, if that was the case, okay, I could understand your argument. But now that Tom Brady doesn't have any assurance that he's going to be with the Patriots long term in terms of the 2020-2021 season, right now he has to prove to Bill Belichick, apparently, that he deserves a contract heading into next year. So at that particular point in time, I understand where Tom Brady's coming from, to the point where he says, well, you know, is it really worth me showing up here and working with some of these guys that Bill Belichick wants to give a chance to in the NFL? He thinks that this undrafted kid, Jacoby Myers, is going to work out for us. He thinks that he's going to be a star going forward or a key contributor. I can totally understand where Brady's coming from, where he didn't want to show up. And it's not like Brady didn't do anything. We saw it. He's coming into camp. He's in like the best shape of his life. He's throwing the ball. He's posting on Instagram 61 miles an hour. He's working out with N'Keal Harry. He's working out with Julian Edelman. He's even working out with Rob Gronkowski. The number is 617-779-7937. Your biggest takeaways from the preseason game on Thursday night. Another thing that I want to get to is, man, the defense is going to be ridiculous this year. The defense looks to be absolutely top-notch. And one of the guys that jumped off the page to me, or jumped off the screen, I should say, because I wasn't reading, I was actually watching. So one of the guys that jumped off the screen was Michael Bennett. Now, one thing about Michael Bennett, before I get into Michael Bennett the player, what's up with his jersey? I understand that he always wore weird jerseys when he was in Seattle and Philadelphia. Like, he's known for having those, like, tiny shoulder pads. But you notice his jersey the other night? It's, like, cut down the side. I don't know what was going on with his jersey. But nonetheless, with Michael Bennett, you notice the other night where he had a sack. He had another quarterback hurry. He had a tackle for loss. Like, he looked like an absolute beast out there. This is, like, the perfect Bill Belichick player, Michael Bennett, in terms of what he does on the football field, right? Because you get him after he plays a season in Philadelphia. We all know how good he was in Seattle. And if you think about what he did in Seattle, if you go back to the, I guess technically the game was in 2015, but the 2014 Super Bowl where the Patriots beat the Seahawks. Remember, that was like the guy that the Patriots were trying to stop. That was the guy that the Patriots were trying to neutralize the most, was Michael Bennett. And if you look at Michael Bennett, he comes much cheaper than a guy like Trey Flowers did, right? Trey Flowers gets all that money from the Detroit Lions, and you can make a real argument and a real significant argument that Michael Bennett may be the better player. So you look at Michael Bennett, $6.5 million cap hit, $10.2 million cap hit the following season. Trey Flowers, his lowest cap hit under his new contract is $16.7 million. It gets up to 23.6. So Bill Belichick, he's done this before. He said there's no reason to pay Trey Flowers that type of money. I know that I can generate a pass rush. And oh, by the way, this isn't even like one of those things where we saw when Chandler Jones left. It wasn't like Bill Belichick like directly replaced Chandler Jones, right? They just found a way to get to the quarterback without directly replacing him. With Trey Flowers, this is even a bigger one, right? Because they directly replaced Trey Flowers with a guy like Michael Bennett. It wasn't like it's like, all right, we'll figure this out by committee or something along those lines. No. He went out there and he got himself Michael Bennett. And Michael Bennett, at this particular point in time, all he's going to care about is trying to win a Super Bowl, right? You're on the Patriots. That's all you're going to care about if you're still playing football at this stage of your career. He's already accomplished everything as like a player in the NFL. He's already won a Super Bowl. He's been to another Super Bowl. So at this point in time, Michael Bennett, he has his money. It's not like the Patriots are going to give him an increase in a contract, right? So he's playing to try to win football games, right? We've seen that him and Tom Brady are already buddy-buddy at this point in time. So Bill Belichick saved himself a bunch of money, and you could make an argument that he actually got a better player in Michael Bennett. And we all know Michael Bennett is like a beast against the run as well. And the other thing, Michael Bennett's versatility, right? He can line up at defensive end, rush the passer from the outside, and we've seen through the years you can put him in the middle, he can do stuff from there. So this is just a real versatile player that Bill Belichick is going to love having at his disposal. And then you just look at this defense up and down and just suffocating. And the other night, I mean, when Cam Newton was actually on the football field before he went down with that ankle injury, shocker that Cam Newton went down again, but before he went down with that ankle injury, we saw Michael Bennett was putting pressure on him, and we saw, quite frankly, that Carolina had trouble moving the football. And you think about the secondary, that's where Bill Belichick likes to put his money. Stephon Gilmore and McCourty and the other McCourty, Jason McCourty, right? All these guys coming back. And then you think about the young kid, Juwan Williams. It looks like he's going to play a role in this team. A 6'4" cornerback. It's funny, like right before the draft, Bill Belichick said, we all have all these big guys in the NFL. Who's going to cover them? And then in the draft, he drafts a cornerback that is 6'4". And the linebacking core is something that last year, going into the 2018 season, that's something that kind of jumped off the screen to me as like, could this be a weakness for the Patriots? Last year, I'm saying, the linebacker position. And now you look at Dante Hightower. To me, he looks more healthy this year heading into the season than he did last year in terms of his build and whatnot, his body composition. Jamie Collins is the guy that's coming back after he's in Cleveland. He gets the big money, doesn't perform at the level they want him to perform at. So now he's back. Remember, the issue with him last time around was the freelancing. He looks like he's much more accepting of the coaching this time around. So you add him to the linebacking core. That was an issue with this team over the past couple of years, and it feels like now it's actually becoming a strength of the Patriots. Like, I really don't see a weakness that the Patriots are going to have from a defensive perspective. And last year, remember, the pass rush wasn't great during the regular season. I believe they finished the year with what? They were in the lower third of the NFL in sacks, like 21 or something. Like, it was not a great number for the Patriots. And if you look at it this year, they're going to be able to generate a pass rush without having to blitz you or anything along those lines. I guess the biggest question mark from the defensive side of the football is who's calling the signals. And really, I mean, Bill Belichick, that's Fort Knox. He's not letting us know anything along those lines. Remember, you had Daron Harmon on Dale and Keefe, like, what, 2 weeks ago. It was the first Patriots Monday, and he basically said that Gerard Mayo is pretty much calling the defense, so to speak. And then Bill Belichick said later on in the day, well, his title isn't defensive coordinator. All right, so I guess that's the biggest question mark with the defense. But this really has the chance to be the best defense the Patriots have had since that 2014 season. I get, like, every year they're top 10 in scoring defense, but just from the personnel that's on the football field with the defense, it is so far ahead of the Patriots offense right now. You look up and down all the first and the second round picks, not to mention the fact you're going to have rookies contributed to that defense. Like, Chase Winovich looks like he's going to have a major role on this team. All right, a lot more to get into if you want to weigh on the Patriots after their third preseason game. What do you make of the roster at this particular point in time? Do you think Hoyer will remain on the team? What do you make of Tom Brady and his relationship with his receivers right now? Do you trust this receiving core heading into the season? The number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
93.7 FM. WEEI.
The Raiders and Packers played on an 80-yard field due to safety concerns in the end zone because of holes where goalposts for the CFL are planted. Now, of course, this is embarrassing. It feels like the NFL can never do expansion out of the country, right? And I join everyone who wonders, how the hell could this happen, given all the lead time they had for this game and all the money the league has? However, I'm not going to pretend to be outraged. Let's be honest, this is a blunder, but it is one that no one will care about a day from now. So note to the NFL, if you want to do international expansion, you should probably have everything accounted for. Like, you know, the field.
All right, that's Robin Lundberg from SINL weighing in on the situation that went down with the Packers and the Raiders on Thursday night. If you missed it, he laid it out there. They had to play on an 80-yard football field because there was holes in the end zone because, of course, the CFL, where their goalposts were, they couldn't fill in the holes, so you had holes in the end zone.
How the hell could this happen?
617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3.5 hours or so, something along those lines. But nonetheless, taking you up until Red Sox pregame at 7:40 with Will Fleming. But here's the interesting thing that I look at from the NFL's angle and all this. So this situation the other night is an absolute joke because, first of all, the Packers were getting ready to play their, like, regular starters, right? So Aaron Rodgers was going to play, et cetera, the Packers' main guys. But Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Packers, decides not to play his starters because of the fact that the field, they were saying, wasn't safe enough, right? Even though the NFL had done a test the day prior to make sure everything was okay. The teams are in Canada, so they want to figure out some way to play the game. So they're going to play it either way. But now they're going to play on an 80-yard field, and they're essentially going to have a situation where There's no kickoffs. Basically, you just start from the 15-yard line. But a couple of reasons that this is a disaster for the league. First of all, think about it from somebody else's perspective on that Packers team. Oh, well, you know what? The field isn't safe, so Aaron Rodgers, et cetera, you guys aren't going to play. And then the Raiders followed the Packers. They decided not to play their starters. But, hey, you guys, you're not going to play. But, hey, the guys that are trying to make the team, some of the bubble guys, if you will, you guys are going to play. You guys are going to be in the game. So they put those guys out there when the field, in their mind, isn't particularly safe enough to play in that game. So, hey, Aaron Rodgers, you're very important to the franchise. You're very important to the league. But the rest of these guys that are trying to make the team, well, you guys can play on the unsafe field. That's a joke to me. Also, you look at the fact that this offseason, remember, when training camp opened up, this is the 100-year celebration of the NFL, the anniversary, right? So when they decided to open up the season during training camp, the Cincinnati Bengals practiced in Dayton. And the NFL had to make sure the field was safe, and there was a lot of question marks with the field. You had multiple different Cincinnati Bengals talking about how it was kind of slick. They go out there to practice in Dayton just to celebrate the NFL, right? Because this is the 100-year anniversary of the NFL, right? So they have this celebration practice for the Cincinnati Bengals. What happens? AJ Green turns his ankle. He has ligament damage. He's going to miss the first couple of games of the season. So you put one of the best players in the league, at least one of the best wide receivers in the league, in harm's way because the NFL wanted to celebrate its 100-year anniversary. The NFL wants to play a preseason game in Canada. You put your players in harm's way. And I say all that to say this. What is the league having an issue with right now? Antonio Brown. And I'm not defending Antonio Brown. The guy's an absolute clown with this whole helmet situation. But what's the rationale for Antonio Brown not being given permission to wear that helmet? The reason Antonio Brown can't wear that helmet is it's considered to be a safety issue in the league, right? That's why he can't wear it. It's a safety issue. They have deemed these other helmets, and it's not like they don't have proof. They've gone through science and whatnot. They've tested these helmets out to prove that these other helmets are safer. So they want Antonio Brown to wear the safer helmet. But how hypocritical does this look for the NFL? That they're essentially saying, hey, Antonio Brown, you can't wear your old helmet because it's not deemed safe enough. Yet AJ Green can practice on a crappy field in Dayton, and the Raiders and the Packers can play a preseason game on an 80-yard field with holes in the end zone. How does that work? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. So this looks really, really bad for the NFL, especially considering they're in this whole argument with Antonio Brown, multiple grievances, because they're trying to protect the player's safety. They're not trying to protect the player's safety now. They're okay with the Raiders and the Packers playing in Canada on a crappy field and AJ Green turning his ankle in Dayton just because they want to celebrate some stupid anniversary because the first game ever was played in Dayton. I mean, that's a disaster. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Ralph. He is in Cranston. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, good afternoon. I can't see them keeping three quarterbacks, so of course they're going to cut Hoyer. You know, number one, you can't put Stidham on the practice squad, or somebody will sign him away, right, in a second. So, and Hoyer, no, who's going to sign Hoyer? For what reason would anyone sign Hoyer? There's other quarterbacks that are going to cut too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Carolina now, if Cam Newton, now they say he's going to be ready for the season, but their backup situation, if you look at the game the other night, they got that Kyle Allen kid who went to like three different colleges. They just drafted Will Greer. I could see like Carolina picking him up.
Possibly, but you and I both believe he's just done. He's got no talent left. But anyway, no, it's too bad about Chung. Although I thought from the start that this kid Williams is going to beat him out. You know, when they drafted him, everyone was saying, well, even myself, a cornerback, I mean, they get so many defensive backs, this kid really looks like the real thing. And other people said on TV that day, some scouts said, you're going to see why they drafted him. The kid's a football player. You know, but Chung came back here, you know, and Belichick, yeah, brought it back. Belichick brought back Collins. Now, when people have tried to say, well, you know, you think Gronkowski will come back? If Gronkowski ever was allowed to come back to this team, he would be the first guy to ever be allowed back that left on his terms. I mean, Ninkovich retired the next year. Even we said, you know, Ninkovich was good. Maybe he prematurely, but I spoke to him a little after. He wanted to come back. You don't do that with Belichick. Anyway, Law wanted to come back. I think McGinnis wanted to last year come back. When you leave on Bill's terms, then maybe he'll take you back if he feels
all right. Well, Ralph, I'll play the hypothetical with you. We get to week 13 of the season. The Patriots are having a pretty good year, like week 8 of the season. They're having a pretty good year, but the offense doesn't look great. Clearly, they're getting no production from the tight end position. Gronk says he wants to come back. You think Bill says no?
Well, how about 2 years in the Super Bowl when he didn't play, what's his name, the defensive back, Butler?
Yeah, Malcolm Butler.
Did you think he was going to fit him? You ever second-guess this man? This man is the greatest when it comes to
Ralph, I'm not second-guessing him. I'm just saying you don't think in
don't
that.
I think you'll let him back.
You really don't think he'd let – see, I disagree with you on that. I think that if he wanted to come back, Bill Belichick would let him come back.
I mean, I would have to be really, really desperate because it's just not his style. This is the most principle-ridden guy you'll ever see, and I don't think he – you want to stay, fine. You know what I'm saying? And let's face it, Gronk was slipping as a receiver. Gronk was hurting. You know, he wasn't the same Gronk as last year. They're going to miss him more, I think, with the blocking. If this team, though, can – really? And I think you're going to see, I don't think you see those starting left tackle here. They're looking at other players. The talk is that they're trying to bring in another tackle. But if this team can show up that position, it's scary right now. I can say this defense looks amazing. But then again, I am the same person that said all of our radio stations predicted 8-8 for them last year. And thank God I look like a fool. But see, this team has got so much depth. I think they're scary right now.
I'd agree with that. They're very scary right now, Ralph. And appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. I don't agree with the Gronkowski point. If Gronk wants to come back, he's going to be back on the team. I understand that Bill Belichick is controlling everything within the organization, right? Evidence of that would be the Brady contract, right? Because if Robert Kraft stepped in, Brady would have got an extension, right? Like, if Brady really wanted extra years in the contract, you would think that Robert Kraft would have been the one that said, hey, Bill, you got to give him this extra years on the contract, whatever the case may be, and Brady only got a one-year deal. So Belichick still has control. And remember years ago, the whole story about Garoppolo getting traded away, that was coming down from the ownership. That's what we all heard. That's what we're all led to believe. And Seth Wickersham from ESPN reporting that essentially Belichick was demoralized when he had to trade away Jimmy Garoppolo. Although in the long term, that may work out. Jimmy G did not look great in his last preseason performance. 1 of 6 for 0 yards, not exactly great. But nonetheless, getting back to the original point, I understand that Belichick has control over everything, but he also wants to win, right? So if he has a team that midway through the season, say, whenever Gronk wants to say, hypothetically, we don't have any proof that he does, but hypothetically, if Gronk wants to come out of retirement and he can realize that Gronk's going to help this team because they have nothing right now at the tight end position, I don't think that Bill Belichick, just because Gronk decided to retire, is going to be like, no, I don't want him on the team. Now, maybe he has to prove himself, like he's going to come in and work out and stuff, but I don't imagine Bill Belichick saying no to that situation. The one thing I will say with Gronk, though, he is getting a little bit annoying. Can we agree on that? How many times is Rob Gronkowski going to tease the fan base about possibly returning to the team, right? So he's at the ESPYs joking around with Drew Brees about, and he says, I'm coming back. You also had the case where he was at like a music awards and he talks about the possibility of coming back. He's on Rich Eisen's show and he talks about, hey, he doesn't know if he's going to miss it until September. He works out with Tom Brady in Los Angeles, right? So all these different times Gronkowski has essentially teased the fan base that he could possibly return to the team. I'm getting sick and tired of that. I'm just looking forward to the fact that in a couple of days, Rob Gronkowski is going to announce what his next venture is going to be so he can get rid of the hype on that thing. But quite frankly, I don't care. Unless it's him returning to the Patriots, which obviously he isn't going to do in a press conference, whenever it is in the next couple of days, they put out that big thing, the people that represent him. So it's not going to be that, but I'm really not going to care if it's not something to do with sports. Quite frankly, if he does another Nickelodeon show, great. Congratulations, Tim. I'm sure he'll have fun. If it's something about some new party tour that he's kicking off, great. But I'm not going to have any interest in it whatsoever unless it has something to do with football. All right, if you want to weigh in, the number 617-779-7937. What do you make of the Patriots after their first couple preseason games? Certainly welcome to hop on board here on WEI.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!